River Bank, we believe you can heal, grow, and fulfill God's plans for your life as the power of God touches you through this prophetic teaching by Pastor Dominion. Get excited and hop into it.
All right, please open your Bibles. We're looking at healed by community. Say healed by community. This is the last part of the teaching series, Healing Angry Hearts. And as a way of introduction, I want to say, and we've said this multiple times, but it's important to reiterate, that anger is not a sin. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Please open your Bibles. I know you know it. I know we've said it multiple times, but it's important for you to look at it. Anger is not a what? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Are you there? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Are you there now? Read together, everybody want to go. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your good. So he says, be angry, but do not sin. So the sin is not that you got angry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So maybe someone annoyed you this week and it spoiled your entire prayer life. Well, the anger was not the sin. Allowing anger to control every other thing after that is where the sin happens. Anger is an emotion that could be birthed from discomfort, irritation, whatever. It's a reflex sometimes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But don't allow anger become a doorway for sin. Some of you might have realized that you slip into habits the moment you are so angry. There's a limit in anger that if you hit, something just happens. You just feel a dip in your life. And it can spiral into habits. It can spiral into nonchalance. You're not motivated about the things of God. You're not motivated about your career. You're not motivated about your academics. You're just unmotivated. Uncontrolled anger is what is a sin. And we said uncontrolled anger is prolonged anger. Say prolonged anger. Listen. Let me explain something to you. The devil, you can call the devil anything, but don't call him a fool. He knows exactly what he is doing. When he convinces you that you have anger issues, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying you do not experience it. I'm saying by the time you take that as your identity, you are in trouble. Here's the reason why. Faith is that you are confident in what you do not see. And I'm explaining something very important this morning. Faith does not mean to deny the fact. We are not saying that you should say, I don't have anger issues. You are denying the fact. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? If you say, I do not have anger issues, you are denying the fact that you have anger issues. You are denying it. That's not faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Supernatural result is a product of the sovereign will of God and the deliberate faith of man. Meaning, if you would experience that transformation, you would have to be in faith. Now, how do we know that God doesn't want you to have anger issues? It's simple. He put his spirit inside of you to give you self-control. Say self-control. God cannot put self-control inside of me. And I'm saying I cannot control myself. I don't know if God wants to hear my prayers. I try to control myself when I'm angry, but I cannot. I don't know why God has not answered. Hey, he has given you self-control. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, if I'm going to experience that supernatural result, it's that God wants to do it, and I'm deliberately standing in faith. Now, how do we know if God wants to do it? We check his word. And in his word, we see that we have self-control. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. So he has put in my spirit self-control. But guess what? Supernatural result is not a product of the sovereign will of God alone. That God wants to do it and that God has gone ahead to do it does not mean you will get it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, if you are praying, God, take away the anger from me. God says, like, you know, remember we said God looks at the heart. God says, I can look at your spirit. I see self-control there. You say, but God, I'm not experiencing it. Because the equation is the sovereign will of God and the deliberate faith of man. You must deliberately demonstrate your faith. Praise the name of the Lord. God looks at the heart. He puts self-control in your spirit. But that's not enough. You must deliberately demonstrate faith. You must believe that self-control is in you. Do you get what I'm saying? This is why we talk about confidence in the unseen. So I must believe I have self-control. But I cannot see it. I'm losing my temper. What do I do when I lose my temper? I remember that there's self-control in my spirit. Did I demonstrate it? No. But I will not be confident in the external. I choose to be confident in the unseen. Do you get what I'm saying? Listen, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you are going to get the results and you want to follow God's method, faith is how we receive what grace gives. God, by his own sovereign will, it's called grace, has given us self-control, but it's in our spirit. If it's going to manifest externally, it's not a prayer point. God, do it. It's something that is in your spirit. But if it's going to manifest externally, you must demonstrate faith. Praise the name of the Lord. I said, praise the name of the Lord. So you must, first of all, believe. Do I see it? No. Do I feel it? No. Did I lose my temper? Yes. But we must be confident in what we've not seen. Tell your neighbor, say, you must be confident in what you've not seen. Preach it to your neighbor. Say, you must be confident in what you've not seen. Tell someone else, you must be confident in what you've not seen. Many of us are just confident in what we've seen. And that's not faith. The Bible says that much. If we see it, then we don't need faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You don't need faith. But if God has said it, I believe it. So if I lose my temper, what do I do? You must be able to remember, listen, that God has put in your spirit self-control. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you must be able to say it. You must be able to say it. Listen, I'm telling you why you've been struggling with anger forever and you've not gotten any results. Because you are trying to overcome on your own. You must believe. It's the principle of faith. He says, if you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed. There's a sin aspect of it. I hear what I'm saying. So how many times have you told yourself, I have self-control. I have self-control. Even when you lose it. Because my confidence is not in the physical. My confidence is not in how I feel. Many of us think, if I can't control myself, it means I don't have self-control. That's a lie. Listen, I said you can call the devil anything, but don't call him a fool. He would always want to twist God's word. Has God said you have self-control? So where is the self-control in your life? Where is it? If you have self-control, why did you lose it? You've been saying you have self-control, you have self-control. Where is it? Then when you now step into unbelief and you don't believe anymore, you lose. You lose what God has given you. Because faith is how you receive what grace gives. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So God told Abraham, you will go ahead from now. Don't call yourself Abraham again. You must call yourself Abraham. And Abraham means father of nations. You must identify as the father of nations. Confidence in the unseen. Do you have a child? No. But you must be confident in the unseen. So every day Abraham meets someone new. He identifies himself as the father of nations. In a day and age when names have a meaning, when names have a history, when names have a story, anybody that doesn't know him closely will think people in his area, people in his neighborhood gave him that name because he has so many children. But when you enter his house, you see no child. But he had to keep saying it every day. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? You have to keep saying it. Listen, if you struggle with anger and you struggle with not controlling yourself, but you don't want to believe that God has given you self-control and you don't want to say it, you can't be helped. You can't be helped. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 23, he said, you shall have whatsoever you see. The woman, the issue of blood, book of Mark, Amplified says, she kept saying, if I touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. If I touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. If I touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. She kept saying it. She kept saying it. She kept saying it. Guess what? If you say the contrary, you still get it. God promised and swore to the children of Israel. He says, I'll take you from Egypt and I'll bring you to the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. They kept saying, we're going to die in this land. Let's go back to Egypt. The giants are too big. That was the fact. That was the fact. But you see, saying the fact will get you the testimony of the fact. Saying faith will give you the testimony of faith. So they kept saying, the giants are too big. In their eyes, we are like grasshoppers. And in our eyes, we are like grasshoppers. That's facts. But facts will not give you supernatural results. It will give you the results of facts. Guess what God told Moses? He said, as they've said in my hearing, so I will do for them. Even though God has promised and has sworn, he said, it's what you say you will get. It's what you say you will get. So maybe you've been getting what you've been saying. I'm not saying that you should go about saying, I don't have anger issues. That's denying the facts. Faith doesn't deny the fact. It says the things that are not as so as if they are. It calls the things that be not as though they are. It calls the things that are not his physical testimony as if it's his testimony physically. So Abraham was calling what was not his physical testimony, father of nations, as if it was his physical testimony. Go ahead and call what is not your physical testimony as if it's your physical testimony. I have self-control. I have self-control. I do not lose it. I'm patient. I hear what I'm saying. See it. Because if God swears that he will give you self-control, if you don't say it, if you don't believe it, you won't get it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, an uncontrolled or prolonged anger, we said, is a sin. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Are you there? I want you to read verse 26. Ephesians and chapter 4. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Verse 26. Are you there? Read together. Everybody wants to go. One more time, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Read together, everybody want to go. He says, be angry and do not sin. And he explains how. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Tell your neighbor, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Are you hearing that? Don't go to bed angry. Don't go to bed angry. Listen, I'm not saying the offense is not great. I'm saying the word of God is greater than the offense and all of us put together. And there is a direct instruction. And he says it for your safety. He says, nor give place to the devil. Nor give place to the devil. What if the happenings in your life are a product of the place you gave to the devil? And it's not even difficult to know. There are statements that we've made, ways we've acted, out of anger, out of irritation, that's made us lose some opportunities. So you give place to the devil. You don't know referrals that you might have gotten if you did not lose it. No, give place to the devil. And sometimes it's an access road for him to begin to attack other aspects. You were angry. You fell into habits. Now you cannot pray. No, give place to the devil. Now it has affected your prayer life. He says, don't listen. You must put a time limit on anger. Your anger can be eternal. Because it gives the devil room. Do you understand what I'm saying? And sometimes he attacks your life, attacks your health, attacks your career, attacks your ministry, attacks your job, your academics. Because he has access road. He has a legal ground in your life. Let me tell you something. I'm going to teach on this next month, during midweek service. In the realm of the spirits, is a legal realm. Things happen by law and order. Are you hear what I'm saying? It's not an emotional realm. It's law and order. It operates by principles. Do you get what I'm saying? Principles. Meaning, there are certain things you will do. There will be certain repercussions for it. Principles. Listen, it's not everything that is prayer. That's why he says you can lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. It's a principle. No matter what the devil wants to do. The principles are the principles. If someone believes the gospel, no matter what the devil wants to do, he's saved. It's a principle. Listen, you can't believe that by believing the gospel, someone will be saved and not believe that the spirit realm works by principles. Listen, you are not in the spirit in the sense that you might not be seeing what's happening. You might not see that God has taken away the stony heart and put the heart of flesh, but you know that if the person says they believed, they are saved. Meaning you know that the principle stands. If you believe, you are saved. That's how the realm of the spirit is. Principles. If you keep prolonged anger, the devil has access road. Listen, you don't have to do anything yet. He has legal access. He can step into any area and do anything. Are you hear what I'm saying? You don't have to premeditate murder. He can make you commit it. In fact, the Bible says if you are angry with your brother without a cause, you've committed murder already. Because in the realm of the spirits, you've translated, you've moved. It's a done deal already. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said, be angry but sin not. Don't let the sun go down whilst you are still angry, nor give place to the devil. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 6 to 7, look at it. It says, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, you will be accepted. If you do not well, he says, sin lies on your door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. So sin wants to rule over you. But your responsibility is to rule over it. Meaning that the work of the Spirit in your heart must be greater than those desires for sin. Meaning the peace and gentleness, the love that's in your spirit must be stronger than the heart. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The love of God in your spirit must be burning hot and must be stronger than the offense. Or else, the offense would make the spirit subject to the flesh. Remember we said, the Bible says, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Meaning is what the prophet wants to do, that he will do. If the spirit wants to do something else, is what the prophet has decided that will happen. Sin wants to rule over you. He says, but you must. Listen, he didn't say you should just, you know, be trying your best. He says you must rule over it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And here's why. When sin wants to rule, he doesn't rule like democracy. Sin is not democratic in its approach. It's tyrannical in its approach. When sin is ruling, it doesn't ask you, what do you want to do? It does not. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is why I said, even if God is saying, calm down, you will not. If somebody else is saying, calm down, you will not. Because you've allowed sin to rule. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's a tyrant. You know in your heart, this is God telling me to calm down. Somebody else will stand beside you and say, the devil is working. Calm down, calm down. But you won't hear. Why? Because sin is a tyrant. It lords it over you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It lords itself over you. It doesn't play nice. And so, let me give you an illustration. When the Israelites were in Egypt, and the Pharaoh was ruling, he wasn't nice. You can't protest. You can't protest. You can't come out and say, you know, you don't have labor party or labor union and say, we are going on strike. You want to go on strike? Say, Pharaoh has cut our supply, so we are going on strike. You can't. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You can't. So he is a tyrant, and that's how sin is. And so what God did was to deliver you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Mapalos. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Thank you, Lord. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and verse 14. Are you there? Read together, everybody want to go. Glory to God. Come on, you didn't read that like it was the word of God. He says, for he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Do you see that? Did you see that?
Yes, sir.
So it's not like he just delivered you and said and gave you a strategy that you escaped. What he delivered you from was the power of darkness. The rule of darkness. The reign of darkness. Do you get what I'm saying? So darkness was reigning. It's serious. Listen, when somebody gets born again, it's not that a good boy just decided to change and become a bad boy decided to change and become a good boy. Or a bad girl decided to change and become a good girl. No. There is the power of darkness sitting on the person that he needs deliverance from. The word, you know, deliverance means to drag out. To move someone from one country to the other. That's what it means. So, what he did was drag you out of the power of darkness. The word is authority. Exousia in the Greek. The reign of darkness, meaning darkness was reigning in your life. It was lording over your life. So, when you get born again, when you got born again, and when anyone gets born again, it's not that you just decide, I'm going to change a new leaf. I'm going to turn a new leaf. Or, this new year, I don't want to keep doing bad stuff. I'm going to change. It's not you are going to change, oh. It's not. It's that there's a hold of darkness that has been broken. There's a tyrannical reign, meaning it makes you do what you don't want to do. This is why in Romans 7, he says, the things I want to do, I don't find myself doing. He says, because sin is at work in me. He says, sin in me that does it. Praise the name of the Lord. So, for every believer, a miracle has occurred already. Ha, glory to God. That reign of darkness has been broken. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
We have been set free. Oh, come on, say, I'm free.
I'm free.
I may not feel it, though. I may not even see it. But the reign of darkness is broken. Listen, quit thinking that there's this hold of darkness. This habit is too strong. Hey, build confidence in the unseen. The reign of darkness has been destroyed. Glory to God. What the devil thought he was doing, God has scattered. What the devil thought he was doing, God has scattered. So over you, the devil has lost. Come on, glory to God. I say he has lost. Oh, I say he has lost. Say
he has lost.
Over habit, he has lost. Over sadness, he has lost. Over depression, he has lost. Over every habit that's ungodly, he has lost. Oh, glory to God. So, that struggle to let go, he has lost. Glory to God. If you do not know, the devil will deceive you. That's why the Bible says, do not conform to this world. Don't behave like people of this world. He said, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, you are a new person. That struggle, the devil has lost his hold already. I hear what I'm saying? Now I am free. The Bible says, stand in the liberty where Christ has made you free. Oh, I stand in that liberty. No matter what is happening physically, I stand in that liberty. Glory to God. He said, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has delivered us. Oh, that power of darkness over your life causing sickness. He has delivered us. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So those patterns in the lineage, he has delivered us. Listen, why don't believers walk in this liberty? Why don't they see this testimony? Because supernatural result is not that God has done it already. It's that faith receives what grace has given. Glory to God. So, how will those patterns break physically? By faith. By faith. By faith. He says, to him that believes, all things are possible. To him that believes, those patterns can be broken. To him that believes, those lineage patterns, that sickness can be turned. So he has delivered you. Therefore, you stand in that liberty. Praise the name of the Lord. But that's the teaching for another day. But not only did God take them out of Egypt, deliver them from that hold, he puts them on a pedestal that is attractive. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 to verse 6. Exodus chapter 19. Please open your Bibles. I love this one. Hey, Exodus 19. Marapayas. Rusene mekapai. Thank you, Lord. Are you there? Read together, everybody. Want to go? All right, are you in verse 6 now? Exodus 19, are you in verse 6?
Yes.
Read together, 1, 2, go. Glory to God.
Yeah.
I want you to read the word of God with your spirit, your heart open, and see the beautiful things there. Verse 5, it says, now therefore, he has brought him out of Egypt. He says, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my commandments, then you shall be a special treasure above all people. Come on. He said you are special above all people. This is what we're teaching in midweek. The Israel of God. The NIV says, you will be my treasured possession. Hey! Woo! Glory to God. Hey, God, do you have any possession that is special, treasurable to you? He says, yes, the Israelites. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So God looks at you. Not only did he deliver you, he said you are special. Above all people, above all my creation, I consider you special. I consider you special. So he says, then you'll be a special treasure to me above all people. You're a special possession for me. Do you see that? You're a special possession to me. Verse 6. Look at your Bibles. Ah, I'm special to God. Oh boy, I'm special to God. Hi. So he took me from the reign of darkness and made me special to him. And so when I pray, he answers. This is why we say when we ask, God gives. When we worship, he pays attention. Out of everybody on earth, 8 billion of them seeking him, he gives us access to him. We are special. We are special. We are special. And that's what he says here. Verse 6. And you shall... Are you looking at your Bibles? He says, look at your Bibles. He says, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests. What's the duty of the priest? To offer sacrifices to God. Round the world, every day, people are offering different sacrifices to different gods. But he says, our own sacrifice will be acceptable. Glory to God. He says, by this we offer sacrifices unto him. He says it's the fruit of our lips, giving praises to his name. As we thank him, he accepts it as sacrifice, as incense. As we pray, he hears. He says, while you are yet speaking, before you ask, I've heard. So he brought us out of a place where we're beaten and frustrated, controlled and influenced by the devil. He brought us out, and that's something to be thankful enough. But he said, guess what? Out of all my possessions, this is the most important. I'm going to ensure this possession with the blood of Christ. And when you speak to me, when you come to offer something to me, I'll hear you. That's royal priesthood. Meaning, in my offering, there's royalty. He treats it with royalty. He treats it with priority. Before you, can you imagine? The God of the universe says, before you ask, I'll hear. That's priority. Oh. Are you hear what I'm saying? Yes. That's priority. Everybody with their requests, some with tears, some from their hearts. Their mouths will not even be moving, but their hearts are in deep agony. God, would you hear me? God, would you save me? But God said, before you ask, I hear. That's royal priesthood. Meaning, before you offer your sacrifice, I've heard. Whether it's in thanksgiving, whether it's in worship, whether it's in prayer, there's priority. Oh boy, we are special. And then he goes ahead, not only to say that you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, he says, and a holy nation. Glory to God. Last Wednesday, we talked about holiness. Holiness is not primarily moral uprightness. That's not what holiness is. Because if it's moral uprightness, how do you call Sabbath day holy? Are you saying that the day does not sin and other days sin? Or are you saying that we can sin on other days but should not sin on this day? None of them make sense. Did you get what I'm saying? None of them make sense. He called some places holy. He says, this is the holy place. This is the most holy place in the temple. Are you saying in other lands they sin? That the other land sin and this one doesn't? The holy land does it sin a bit, but the most holy land does not sin? Are you hearing what I'm saying? No, he's not talking about moral uprightness primarily. Or he calls the vessels in the temple holy. The cups. Are you saying other cups, other spoons that run away from our kitchen? Those ones are sinful. That's why they run. But you see, holy vessels of the temple, they don't used to lust. Is that what he's saying? No. Is he saying that, oh, other cups, you can use them to sin? How do you use a cup to sin? But this one, in the temple, you can't use it to sin. Is that what he's saying? No. Holiness means distinction. Say distinction. It means to be separate from what is common. Did you hear what I said? Oh, every other day is common. You can do anything. But the Sabbath day is separate. The only things you do on Sabbath day are the things unto the Lord. Every of the land, you can do anything. But this is the holy place. You do what the Lord says to do. All the cups, you can use them for anything you want to do. But the cups in the temple are used for the service of God. Every other person is common, but you are different. Hey, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You are a vessel for God's use. You are ordained for God's agenda. Are you sharing what I'm saying?
Yes,
oh, I don't know if I'm called. I don't know if God wants to use me. I don't know if I'm special to God. Are you holy? Are you royal priesthood? Yes. Are you holy nation? Yes. Oh, you are different from the common. Like the vessels in the temple, you are ordained already for God's use. Does it mean you start a church? No. But you are God's agent for achieving his goal on earth. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
Some people are waiting for a vision to know that God wants them to be part of the move of God on earth. Some people have spiritual intelligence. They've seen it from God's word. Everybody's common. Listen. Oh boy, are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
All that God did for you was not for flex. He did not just deliver you for flex. He delivered you because he loved you. But he delivered you for an assignment. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Look at this one. I didn't plan to read this, but this is important. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Are you there? Maro sinamahai. Are you there now? Come on, I can't hear you. Are you there?
Yes,
Ephesians chapter 2. I'll start from verse 8. He says, for by grace you have been saved, delivered you through faith. That not of yourself, he says, is the gift of God. He says, lest, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. Read together, everybody want to go. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for... Glory to God. He says, he has said all of the things I've explained already. And then he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ. This new creation, this man in Christ, is created for good works. So he brought you out of the tyrannical reign of the devil. He crafted you by putting his spirit inside of you. That gives you desire for the right things. That helps you to do the right things. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You were created for good works that he prepared before that you should walk in. So when he wants to answer your prayers, it's not so that you're receiving answers to prayers and doing anything you want to do with your life. No. When he wants you as royal priesthood to offer sacrifices, is that the priest in the Old Testament will offer sacrifices for the sins of people. It's that in intercession, you are betting revival, you are betting forgiveness of sin, you are betting repentance and salvation for others. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So what he did is to show that, the Bible says, to show for the praises of him, that others will know what God has done. God wants others to know. He says, let your light shine, that men will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Praise the name of the Lord. So he did all of those things that men will be saved, that people would know that it's possible to be delivered from the tyrannical reign of the devil. When people asked, oh wretched man, who delivered you from this burden of sin? You can say, thanks be to God who has delivered me. Glory to God. So in Exodus chapter 9 verse 5 and 6, we saw that not only did he deliver us, we are important to him. We can fellowship and have access to him. He accepts our worship and our thanksgiving and our prayers. And he has instituted us as holy. And on Wednesday midweek, we explained that holiness means that you are separated to do God's work. You see that now? You are separated to do God's work. But if we narrow down to the subject we are talking about today, we see that when he delivered you from the reign of the devil, he put his spirit inside of you to reign. Let me show you. In Jeremiah chapter 31, from verse 31 to 33, open that. I want you to see that. Jeremiah 31, 31 to 33. He says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. I love that. He says, see, those days are coming that I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel, the Israel of God, and with the house of Judah. Jeremiah 31, verse 32 now. He says, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them out of the took them by my hand to lead them out of Egypt. That's deliverance. My covenant they did break. Though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. Verse 33. Read together, everybody want to go. And this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Glory to God. So we will now see them and identify them as God's people. It wasn't a tag. It was an identity. Is that when you see them, you realize they're different from others. Say, these ones are God's people. These ones are holy. These ones are righteous. These ones are redeemed. These ones have been forgiven. Praise the name of the Lord. So in the new covenant, he writes his law in your mind. It's an encoding. Do you get what I'm saying? He writes a new code in your spirit, so that your way of operation is according to the code he has written. He didn't say, I will tell you instructions. He says, I will put my law in your mind. Hey! That I think in a way that is consistent with what he has said. This is what we consistently see, that he is at work in you, giving you the desire. So when you say, I want to do what is right, it's because he has written that code inside you. Your new desires are godly. He says, I'll put my law in your mind and write them on your heart. So your new normal is godliness. It doesn't mean you will not exercise yourself in godliness. It doesn't mean you will not stand in that liberty. It doesn't mean you will not renew your mind. Do you get what I'm saying? Because supernatural results are a product of the sovereign will of God and the deliberate faith of man. The Bible says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship. Do you understand? So there is still a need to walk in the light. But I want you to know that the light is inside of you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Previously, let's go back. Colossians 1, 13. He said, he has delivered you from the power of darkness and has conveyed us into the kingdom of his son whom he loves. So he has taken darkness out of you and he has put you in the kingdom of light. Listen, It's not that he took you to somewhere. It's not like you used to live in an area where the NEPA wasn't very favorable and they didn't usually have light. Maybe they used to ration it. And took you to GRA where there's always light. No, no, no. He's talking about what's happening in your spirit. That there was a reign of darkness. Now there's the reign of light. Glory to God. Are you in Colossians chapter 1 verse 13? And after he said all of those, in verse 14 he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So we have forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:14. Verse 13 is where we've been reading. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. And then, remember we're teaching on healing angry hearts. That's the thing. Now that we have received forgiveness, we must forgive. Must. There is no negotiation. Listen, you couldn't take yourself out of the kingdom of darkness. Your coding, your default, your desire when you were under the rule of darkness was to sin even more. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, he says they invent new ways of doing evil. That's what it will do to you. So, you can't even, it doesn't even come to you. And you won't even walk in the direction. And even if you want to do what is good, you will not do it. Because sin, like a tyrant, was ruling. But God brought you out of it. Like the songwriter says, what was impossible? You made possible. Do you get what I'm saying? That's it. And then he has made you special. And all of those amazing things we've talked about. Now, he says you must forgive. You can't say no. You can't. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen. Listen. Being unforgiving is a trait of the kingdom you are coming from. You don't bring it here. You don't do that here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You don't. This is devilish. Is not of the kingdom of light. Not forgiving? No. Listen, God forgave us as an example that we should forgive others. You can't behave devilish in this kingdom. You are talking of the gravity of the offense. We don't talk that way. The Bible says love, the love of God has been shed abroad. He has filled our heart with it. You can't talk like that. Renew your mind. This conversation you want to have about how deep the hurt is, how they knew what they were doing, it's an ungodly conversation. I told you, you can call the devil anything but a fool. I said, if the devil wants to convince you, he will use things you can believe. All of those, the hurt is deep. I understand. The hurt is painful. They knew what they were doing. I understand. But you see, that's the logic of offense. The logic of love is this. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 13, love covers a multitude of wrongdoings. So, I get it. I get it. They knew what they were doing. It was deep. Ah, that kind of thing, they pain. But here's the conversation. Your approach to it, is it to cover a multitude of wrongdoings or to explain, expatiate, you know, digest, meditate on wrongdoings? Because now we can separate between light and darkness. All of your discussions are directed towards darkness, kingdom of darkness. You can't keep talking like that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can't. You can't. Thank you, Lord. So, we're talking about healed by community. We forgive in community. God's system for forgiveness is that I know you will struggle, but in community it should help you. On your own, you might struggle, but community holds you accountable to forgiving. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So we can tell you, bros, you have to forgive. We can hold you accountable to forgiveness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We can hold you accountable. God wants us to hold you accountable to forgiving those that wrong. He says, if a brother is caught in a wrong, you who are spiritual, he says, restore him. Meaning, he has moved away from light and is tilting towards darkness, bring him back. You can't say it's your business. It's not. We are mandated to institute and establish and hold you accountable to forgiveness. Listen, in our community, in our kingdom, it's a community. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's a community. You can't rebel against the laws of the king. If you do, we can't be with you. And I'm going to show you. If you choose not to forgive, we can't keep talking to you. He says, you who are spiritual, restore. Watch in meekness. So your attitude is important. Right? So you don't say, you don't hold, your attitude in telling people to forgive is important. You must do it in meekness. It's the way the Bible says the truth in love. The attitude is important. He says, restore them watching, you know, so that you yourself will not be tempted. That unforgiveness can spread like cancer. It can spread like a virus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It can spread like a virus. So let's look at a few scriptures. Matthew 18, from verse 15 to verse 17. Please open your Bibles as quickly as possible. I'm going to run through a few scriptures and I'll be out of here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Matthew 18, 15 to 17. Thank you, Lord. He says, Jesus was speaking. He said, moreover, if your brother sins against you, so they're talking about offense and anger, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. In the name of Jesus, read Matthew 18, 15, 1, 2, go. I don't like that everybody did not read it. Matthew 15, 18, 1, 2, go. Moreover, if your brother sinned against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained. It's a community. It's a community. Our king has rules for us. If your brother sins against you, don't say, I don't like confrontation. Moving on is not forgiveness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Moving on is not forgiveness. Because when you forgive, you can relate with your brother the way you were relating with him before he offended you. Because to forgive means you let go like it never happened. If I'm letting go like it never happened, I can relate with you like it never happened. So, as far as we can't see you relating like it never happened, bros, you've not forgiven. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Please, there are rules you must follow. Don't say, this is how I do it. We don't know what kingdom you got that one from, but we have instructions in our kingdom. You must forgive. You must let go like it never happened. Relate like you were never offended. Now, verse 16, look at your Bibles. Matthew 18, 16. Are you there? He says, but if he will not hear. So, he anticipates that some will not hear. He says what? Post it on Facebook. Is that what he said? Update your WhatsApp status. Is that what he says? Make a tweet. Post a meme. I'm talking to somebody. Is that what he said? Drop quotes. Talk to me. If your brother will not hear, did he say look for an appropriate meme to put up? If your brother will not hear, Did he say block him? Listen. Listen. He's giving instructions for your protection. Prolonged anger gives the devil access. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he is helping you. He says in verse 16, Matthew 18, verse 16. But if he will not hear, do what? Do what? Take with you one or two more. Meaning, listen, listen. Meaning in your life, there must be one or two people that at the peak of your anger can pacify you. At the peak of your anger can call you back. At the peak of your anger can bring you back to order. So, in your mind now, I want you to answer the question. Who can bring you to order at the peak of your anger? Write their names down. We'll probably need to tell some people. Go and check. There's a, do you know his church notes? Go and write it down now, now, now. At the peak of your anger, who? You can cover it. You can write it small. You can do anything you want to do. But write it. Who can call you to order? Who can pacify you? For some of you, there is nobody like Jesus. Nobody. Who can pacify you? Nobody. We're trying to stop the devil from getting access into our lives. Say, but if they were not here, take with you one or two, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. Have you written their names? Now look at verse 17. Are you ready? Verse 17. I want you to read that. Are you there? Matthew 18, 17. Read together, everybody. Want to go? Oh boy. You see, because the devil has access already. Treat him like a sinner, because prolonged anger gives the devil room. He has access. The fact that the highest institution of the kingdom you can't listen to. Listen, let me explain something to you. I told you the spirit realm works with principles. There are things you can see and make an accurate dictate. If you believe the gospel, you are saved. If by the time the church talks to you, you do not hear, Jesus said, treat him like an unbeliever. Treat him like a member of the kingdom of darkness. Treat him like a sinner. Because we know from God's word that prolonged anger gives the devil space. So, listen, the only thing that will make you, as a Christian, to flout the instruction of the local church is the devil. You can't, with the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost burning your inside, act that way. Nah. It's that the influence of the flesh, the access of the devil, his influence is greater than the influence of the Spirit. But you see, you won't feel like, oh, there's something demonic happening to me. You will not. But this is spiritual intelligence. You have given. The church says, forgive. God said, forgive. You say no. And you say the devil is not in operation. No. No. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm saying this because I taught you this, you know, a long time ago, that when the devil is in operation, the Bible calls it the course of this world, the normal way things happen in this world. It doesn't come off as spooky. It's just normal. I hear what I'm saying? The normal way things work in this world, many times, is the oppression of the devil. So that forgiveness, the person doesn't feel like, there's one influence that's stopping me. He might not. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? But now the devil has access. So we forgive in community. If I talk to the person and they don't hear, Jesus said, take one or two people. Talk to the person, that community. That it's possible for your anger to be pacified in community. Do you get what I'm saying? So if they want to bring one or two people and you are running away, the devil has started working. If the church wants to intervene and you are running away, or you are refusing, they are saying forgive, you say no. Some will say I've heard. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. So let's read a few scriptures and wrap up this service. Anyone who refuses community verdict is not amongst us. Romans 16:17. But you're going to read them, so I'm just going to be dropping them. You read them. Romans 16:17. Thank you, Lord. Please open your Bibles quickly. Romans 16:17. Are you there? No response. I'm going to read. Now I urge you, brethren, take those who cause division and offense contrary to the doctrine that you've learned. Are you there? What does he say to do to them? Oh, you're not there. Romans 16:17. Now I urge you, brethren, not mark those who cause division and offenses contrary to the teachings you've received. What did he say you should do to them? Avoid them. Avoid them. Because it can spread. Are you hearing what I'm saying? 2 Thessalonians 3:6 and verse 14. Open your Bibles. Open your Bibles. Open your Bibles. 2 Thessalonians 3:6-12. But we command you, brethren, believers. Thank you, Lord. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we command. Please say we command. He didn't say we beg. In case you think we were begging you to forgive. We command you. Tell your neighbor, we command you. Tell them, we command you. He says, we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That name you are using to pray. That you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition, the culture you have received from us. We command you. Listen, the reason why some of these things rub off on us is because we don't withdraw. It rubs off. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's my best friend. He's my brother. He's my daddy. He's my mommy. He's my sponsor. All of these things have made this evil trait rub off. We command you in the name of Jesus to withdraw from every brother that walks. And it's not only brothers, sisters. Every believer that walks disorderly and not according to this culture you've received. Verse 14. And if anyone does not obey our words in these epistles, note that person and do not do what? And do not keep company with them, that they may be ashamed. See, you can be understanding boyfriend, you can be understanding girlfriend, but you can't be understanding with someone that is unforgiving. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This joining the bandwagon, I don't want to do like I'm the one. Let there be ashamed. This is not a godly character. You should be ashamed of how you're behaving. This is not godly. Is it clear? Second John chapter 1 verse 10. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, don't receive him to your house. Don't even greet him. Luke 17:1. Luke 17:1-4. Luke 17:1-4. I want you to read this one. Jesus is speaking. Verse 1. Then he said to his disciples, what? It is impossible that no offenses should come. But woe to him through whom offenses come. They would annoy you. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? Now verse 3 is where we're going to. Read together, 1, 2, go. Simple. Is it clear?
Yes, sir.
Now verse, the next verse. I know you didn't think it was in the Bible. Read it again. 1, 2, go. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times a day he returns to say, I repent, you shall do what? You shall do what? You shall tell him you know what you are doing. You shall tell him you know what you are doing. You shall tell him that's how you, the other time. You shall tell him that by forgiving you before you did it again. You shall show him that you should just leave me alone. You shall tell him he's taking advantage of you. He says if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times he returns to say, I repent. Now, I repent does not mean, you just say, I repent. No. I told you, we said it during Sunday school. Repent means to change your mind. That's what it means. It means, I see what I did and I see that it's wrong. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it again. It means I thought it was right, or I acted out of anger. I see. It means that the person has acknowledged that they are wrong. They've seen they are wrong. Do you get what I'm saying? If that happens, he said you should forgive. Have you been blessed this morning? Please rise up on your feet.